Here today, we are going to have a long verses here, text to begin with. Thank you again, Pastor, for this opportunity. Genesis 27 will be where we begin reading from, and our memory verse will be 1 Corinthians 10:12. I won't read that at this time because we're going to get into it in the message, but Genesis 27. I met one of our visitors out in the parking lot there, and I told him, be sure and stay for Sunday school. He's going to have a wonderful guest speaker in Sunday school. And sorry to disappoint you, brother. It's me. And I'm really not as feminine as the watch looks, but I forgot my phone and watch, and so I had to borrow my wife's clock here, watch here. Genesis 27, if you would, please. Familiar portion of Scripture. We'll begin with verse number 1. Genesis 27 and verse number 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son? And he said unto him, behold, here I am. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to have children, a generation that would answer their dad like that today, amen? At any rate, and he said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau her son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison. And Rebekah spake to Jacob her son, saying, behold, I hear thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. All right, we'll just stop here. I'll save some time. I'll tell you the rest of the story. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and for this opportunity. We pray, God, that you would bless this hour. Lord, please speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to set aside anything that would hinder receiving your Spirit this day, Lord. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit that would work in our lives, in our hearts. And I ask you, Lord, to please use me. And, Lord, I pray that you would be the messenger. And I pray that you would speak to the hearts of the folks today. And most of all, Lord, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted both in this message and in our lives. And help us to become just a little bit more like Jesus for being here this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You all know the story. Isaac's getting old. He's going to die. He doesn't know when he's going to die. And it turns out he lives quite a while longer, more than 20 years longer. But at this point, he thought he was going to die. I've been there. I understand that situation. And so he calls Esau and said, look, he's his favorite son. And he says, you know, you go out and shoot some deer. Bring me the meat I like. After I eat, I'm going to bless you. In other words, he's going to give his inheritance to him. He's going to tell him he's going to have God's blessing upon him. And then Rebekah heard what was spoken, and she goes and gets her a little son. Well, he wasn't little. He was a man, but, you know, that's my opinion of Jacob at this point. Now, praise God, he changes, amen, and we're all capable of changing, and Jacob has turned into Israel, prince with God. But here, Jacob means trickster, and she said, look, go get some goats, and I'll cook them, and they'll taste just like venison to your dad. Well, she must have been one good cook, amen? She can make goat taste like venison. But I'm sure she could, and sometimes you eat something, you have to ask, what is this, you know? And because she can make it taste wonderful, you know? And so she cooks this up and then says, you're going to go give it to your dad. And whoa, wait a minute, he's going to know it's me. And instead of receiving the blessing, I'm going to be cursed. And she said, no, just trust me. You know you're in trouble when somebody gets you to do something that's kind of shady, and they say, just trust me. And so she says, just trust me, and dad's gonna feel my neck and my hands, and I'm a smooth man, and Esau's a hairy man, and no, we'll put some of that hair from those goats on you and everything, and we'll strap it on real good. And dad's blind anyways, he won't know. And so he obedient, does what he's told. He goes in to give some meat. His dad looks at or sees some meat, smells it, tastes it, but something happens. He says, He kind of gets over there, and I won't lean too close. I smell the earth on you. See, Jacob was a plain man, lived in tents. He took home ec and that kind of thing in high school. And Esau, he was out on the field playing, and he was out there. He lived outside, and he camping out, you know, sleeping under the stars for a week was just, man, that was fun to him. And he'd go and shoot deer, a great hunter and all this. And he had the smell of the earth upon him. His dad smelled that because she put clothes on him that belonged to her brother, his brother, and then put the hair on him. But Jacob was a little, man, I'm getting these guys' names confused today. I'm sorry. My mind's a little screwed up. Forgive me. And Isaac says, the voice, it doesn't match. It's Jacob's voice. And how'd you get that deer here so quick? Well, God brought it to me. Well, one thing you got to admit, he was a good liar. And so he tricks his dad. His dad blesses him. And why? Because what he did was, see if I can find the verse here, because I didn't read the whole thing. And Isaac said to his son, verse 20, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? He said, because the Lord brought it me. And Isaac said to him, Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be very Esau or not. Now that's important, that I may what? Feel thee, that I may feel thee, that I may feel thee. Why am I stressing that? Because he was relying upon the senses more than the spoken word. He said, the voice is Jacob's, but I feel hair. I smell the earth. He's relying on senses rather than the spoken word. And that will get us into trouble every time. Isaac was moved by feeling Jacob's fake hair. He did not listen to the spoken word. You might say he had the wool pulled over his eyes.
Yeah.
That's literally what happened. She took some wool and put it on his hands, put it on the back of his neck. While he was down there close to him, his dad laid his hand up there on his neck and he felt that hair. He laid his hands on his hands and felt that hair. He literally had the wool pulled over his eyes. Now, sad to say that many people in our churches today are moved by their senses and not the spoken word. Yesterday, out knocking doors, I had the privilege to talk to a lady, and some of our ladies been by before, and whoever you were, you made a big impression on her. She was impressed, and I got a great reception because of the ladies that had been there before. And Brother Gary, you were with me, you remember, and we was talking to this lady, and she was saying that she was Roman Catholic. She got saved in a Southern Baptist church. Her husband was Southern Baptist. Now they're going to a non-Baptist church, you know. And she said there's some things in there we don't really like, but we've been there 5 years, and we really like the pastor. And we like the people. So I asked them, well, what's the problem, the doctrinal problem? Well, they teach you can lose your salvation. Now, folks, that's not a minor issue, you know. That's rather big. If they're not right about salvation, how can you trust them for anything else? And the danger isn't for a person like me, if I went into that church, or like you, if you went into that church, we're saved, we're rock solid, we know we can't lose our salvation. The danger is your grandkids come into that church. They're going to be taught you can lose your salvation before they learn what salvation is. And there's always a danger. They're going to tie the two together, and they think, well, if I can lose it, I better work hard at getting it, and I better work hard at keeping it. And what do you have in the end? Works salvation. For by grace you're saved through faith, and not that not of works, it is a gift of God, not of works, so man should boast. So that all that to say is we must listen to the word of God over our own senses.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry I misquoted that verse, but you got the point. We need to understand that this illustration here is indicative of the church member who wants the church service to appeal to their flesh.
Right. Amen.
When I was pastoring, I'd get phone calls, and here's what I noticed. When somebody called me up and asked me about the church, brother, they would say, the first thing they'd ask me said, what kind of music do you have? The second one would be, which Bible do you use?
Oh, amen.
Not one of those persons ever showed up. Because
wow.
I told them what kind of music we used and what kind of Bible we used. Not a one of them ever showed up. Now, if they would ask which Bible to use first and then what kind of music, then some of those folks showed up and said, hey, we're King James only, blah, 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 and we use good conservative sound music that you can trust. We don't have a rock band on the stage. We never have a rock band. And they would show up. But see, they were basing it upon the written word of God, not their emotions or feelings. Joshua. Let's turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. And Shane, so you don't have to run me down, and I forget the title of the message, we'll just call it wool pulling. Wool pulling. I have the wool pulled over your eyes. Wool pulling, that'll work. Wool pulling. Joshua. Chapter number 9, if you would please. This is a story where the Gibeonites came to Joshua and the elders and tricked them and made a league with them. Joshua chapter 9 and verse number 6. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and sent him, and the men of Israel sent them unto the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. So the Gibeonites were neighbors, but they pretended to be from a far country. So what they did, they went deep in their closet. You ever gone deep in your closet? Yeah. Amazing what you can find if you go deep in your closet. And they got all these old clothes, and then they found some old moldy bread and worn out shoes, and they got rough, tired looking camels or horses or whatever they rode and covered everybody with dust. And then they showed up in the camp. Whew, man, are we exhausted. You got some water? We've come from a far country. Well, where is your country exactly? Oh, it's a far piece from here. Well, can you give me a direction? It's a long ways. They never answered the question. It's just a long ways. And so they want to make a league with Israel. And verse 7, and the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And why would they ask that question? Because God told them when you go into land, don't make a league with any of these people. Wipe them all out. Destroy them. Drive them away. Do not become entangled in an alliance with these people. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said to them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said to him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, we are your servants, therefore make a league with us. This our bread we took hot out of our provisions, out of the houses, on the day we came forth to go unto you. How do you know that? Oh, because they told me. Oh, okay. You know, I believe in the Reagan Doctrine. I'm not here today to make you Amen. Cynical, not trust anybody, okay? But I believe in the Reagan Doctrine. Trust, but verify. Trust, but verify. Do you trust everything that used car salesman tells you? By the way, one question you never ask a car salesman or anybody. Do you think I can afford this car? Dumb question. I know what he's going to say. Okay. Oh, what verse was I on? I got to get down and just start teaching here in a little bit, but I just feel like preaching this morning. Amen. And so they said this bread, and they took the victuals. Okay. And these bottles, verse 13, and these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals. And look at the next phrase. And ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And there's the problem. And ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They trusted their senses. They trusted their eyes. And you must understand something. Deceit is practiced by many, many people who would make merchandise of us. In Joshua 9, and keep your fingers here. Turn to Proverbs 11 and verse 18. Proverbs 11, verse number 18, please. Psalms, Proverbs 11 and verse number 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. See, the practitioners of wickedness are good at deceit because they have a lot of practice at it. They work a wicked work. Now, in Joshua, go back to Joshua 9, in verse 22, we'll see why these people were were successful. Now, they find out later on they're their neighbors. They go to confront them, but they've already made a league with them. And they can't break that league. And then now in verse 22, and Joshua called for them, and he spake to them, saying, wherefore have ye, what's the next word? Beguiled. Wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying we be very far from you when ye dwell among us? Well, first off, you suspected them when they first showed up. Why didn't you run that down? Why did you just accept their word? That this was a brand new suit I bought for this journey, and it's wore out already. These shoes. Man, they were brand new. They wore out already. We took the bread hot out of the oven. Now it's moldy. And they go on making all these excuses. And they kept shoving stuff before their eyes and speaking lies to them. And they didn't chase down the truth. And they never went to God to get counsel. I tell those salesmen, if it's over a couple hundred dollars and the salesman's trying to sell me something, Faye, you can verify this. This is what I tell them. And because there's been times they made their spiel and they said, okay, this is it. You got to sign today, tomorrow. This is it, last chance. And I asked them, you mean if I don't buy today, tomorrow I can't buy it at this price? It'll cost me more. Yes, that's right. And I said, well, the answer is no.
Amen.
And this is what I tell them. If you have to have an answer today, the answer is no. If you wait till I go home and pray over it over a day or 3 days, it might be yes, it might be no, but it's definitely no right now. You'd be surprised how many of them stammer and stutter. Okay, I guess we can do that. Because they're lying to you. If they can sell you something for $250 today, it doesn't automatically go to $280 tomorrow. They can't sell it to you. They can sell it to you for $250. They probably can sell it to you for $200. But at any rate, they lie and they use deceit. And we need to be prepared for that. In Joshua 9:22, that word beguile. Beguile means to delude. Delude or betray. Now look, you can be betrayed without any way of knowing the truth. That happens, okay? You have no way of gathering the information you need, and people can betray you. Like I told you before in a message, that I had a friend one day show up on when we got our checks on a Friday. We worked construction. I was a young man, single man. And the guy showed up and asked to borrow some money. I would have loaned it to him. He was a friend of mine. Known him for a couple years. And we worked together. And he got me a job. And I got him a job. And on and on. And I would have gladly gave him the money. But fortunately, I hadn't been to the bank. I didn't cash the check. And being young, you know, in early 20s, I didn't have any spare money. He lived from paycheck to paycheck. And they didn't have any money. I didn't think anything about it. I went about, did my business, went to work on Monday. He wasn't there. Oh, where? And I found out later from other friends, he went around to every one of our friends and was borrowed money, and nobody's ever saw him again since that day. And there's no way I could gather the information. He would have betrayed me. There's no way of gathering that information. But beguiled is slightly different. It's the same thing where the serpent beguiled Eve. Beguiled Eve. You see, Eve had all the information she needed. Thou shalt not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. She had all the information. The serpent showed up. Hath God said? I mean, did God really say that? And is that what God meant? And she was beguiled when the Lord confronted Adam and he said it was a woman. And being a quick study, she realized that when God confronted her, she said it was a serpent who beguiled me. He tricked me. He fooled me. Paul confirms this. You can look in 2 Corinthians if you'd like, where Paul confirms that that's exactly what happened. She was beguiled. Now listen. The case with Joshua here, the case with Eve, and many times in our lives, is we will get set up to do evil, to do wrong. And the way the wicked does that is they get us thinking wrong. Boy, I tell you what, I really like your church, but Pastor came down a little hard on that today. I just, you know, that just makes people uncomfortable, don't you think? It made me uncomfortable. And then they start with just a little dig here and a little dig there. And what they're doing is they're getting your mind to accept a falsehood ever so slowly. And they're patient. Hey, 3 months, 10 months, a year, don't matter. And they will do what they can to get you thinking wrongly. And when you're thinking wrongly, you're all set up for a fall. And how many of us have been beguiled by friends? That's why I said, be careful who your friends are. Yeah. Be friendly to everybody, but don't let people influence you until you know their true colors. And if they go against the word of God or the man of God, then, okay, I'll be nice to you, but you're no longer my friend. Don't let them influence you. Don't let them influence you. And that's what I mean by friendship, allowing them to influence you. Now, God abhors deceit. There's no doubt about that. You can look at Proverbs 5, verse 6 later on, where God abhors deceit. But deceit is a characteristic of false teachers. Now, we are beguiled sometimes in our practices.
Yes, sir.
But for the Christian, we are also beguiled in our doctrine. How could somebody who was a Baptist, Southern Independent, don't matter, who believes that Jesus Christ's death on the cross was good enough to atone for 100% of our sins, trust in Jesus Christ, be given eternal life, can all of a sudden believe or condone a doctrine that says, oh, no, that's not true. Christ didn't die for all your sins because you have to keep yourself saved. Folks, if you can lose it, how do you lose it? Does God give it up? Does God give it back? It doesn't originate from God. If you can lose it, if you could, I'm saying if, it would have to originate with you. If you can lose it, then it's up to you to keep it, and that is a works salvation. How could a person go from believing once saved, always saved, what the Bible teaches? And I'm talking about genuine salvation, not a false confession, but genuine salvation. Then, and to the point that they believe that you have to earn your salvation by keeping it. Well, Proverbs 11, verse 13. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as a minister of righteousness, who then shall be according to that. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Look, if Satan came into this church today and said, look, this is a great church. This is a fabulous church. Let me tell you something. You guys are you're just too hung up.
Yeah.
And you got to allow, for this modern age, and we need to get Stryper in here to do a concert, and we need to get, are they even around anymore? I don't know. Some of you look at me, who's Stryper? I don't know. You don't need to know who they are. If you don't know who they are, don't worry about them. And contemporary Christian musicians, so-called. And here's the point. He'll get in here, and if you allow him to, he'll take a deceitful work, pretending to be a preacher of righteousness. Look, I generally wear a white shirt to church, brother. You know that. But I'm wearing blue today, amen? It's because my wife wasn't home to pick my suit out for me. She worked overnight, and I had to pick my, I hope it matches, I don't know. But see, a white shirt and a blue shirt doesn't really make a difference. But I worry about these guys who every time they preach, everything on them is white. A white jacket, a white shirt, a white tie, white socks, white shoes, and might be from England.
Oh, yeah, amen.
Let your imagination go there. I don't think everything they're going to be. Why? Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light.
Yes, sir.
If he came in here showing his true colors, man, we'd bar the doors. But he comes in smiling and talking and just beginning with little things. You know, that tithe that preacher's always talking about, that's Old Testament. Well, you're pretty observant. It was Old Testament. It was before the law even. Figure that one out.
It was
before Moses. And then the nation of Israel incorporated into their religious work. And guess what? According to 2 Corinthians, it's for today too.
Amen.
But see, he'll come in and he'll pick something. He'll find something and he'll just start picking at that. Because but he won't come in showing his true colors. Hey, I've had people come into my church and they pretend to be really religious, righteous people and did the most hateful, deceitful things you can imagine. Deceit is a characteristic of false teachers. Satan uses deceit to lull us asleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. We're not to be asleep. Satan used the deceit to trick Eve. He used deceit to trick the nation of Israel here in Joshua's time, and he uses deceit to trick us today. And the sad thing is, a lot of saved people are gullible enough to follow after him. Satan promises freedom and then enslaves us. Satan will promise you fun in the bottom of a bottle.
Oh, yes.
And then he'll smash you over the head with it as your car is careening out of control into a semi-tractor trailer. But he promised you fun.
He will.
And he promised you entertainment,
yes, sir,
but corrupts your morals as you participate in that entertainment.
Exactly.
Satan is a liar and a murderer. How many of God's people cozy up to him, thinking that they can enrich their lives by following his ways instead of God's ways? One time we had some kind of promotion going to church over maybe a quarter or something. And we had a series of character building lessons for the kids. Now, how many of you think that'd be a good thing to preach in Sunday school? Character building. Yeah. And most of our bus parents really liked that. Until we hit on something that they were doing. And the kids went home and we told them, you know, don't tell us, don't preach to your parents. Just change, live right, do right. And I don't even remember what it was. Some kind of character building thing. And I showed up, oh, so-and-so going to write. And they've been faithful writers for months and months and months. No, my kids will never go back to your church. And I go, well, why is that? I said, because you don't teach about God. You teach, you know, other stuff. Well, we do teach about God. And this book teaches about God. And this book has an awful lot to say about God. But I would wait. Well, I don't bet. Brother Ponte, he'll take your bet. Okay. I like picking on him. Why? Because he's bigger than me and I can joke around and he won't hit me in public. Okay. And the point is, this book says an awful lot more about the ways of God than about the character of God. Now, I'm not denying the character of God is taught in here. Read Exodus chapter 20. And people love to always, thou shalt not kill, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, that's right. But, and it means thou shalt not commit private murder, but they want to say, well, use it against capital punishment. Thou shalt not kill, see, thou shalt not kill. No, it means private murder. If you don't believe me, read Exodus 21, where it's all explained in detail.
That's right.
And what is it? We have the nature of God in Exodus 20, then 21, 22, 23, we have the ways of God explained. And so we must learn about God and his nature, absolutely. And I'm so far from being like Jesus, but we also must learn his ways.
Yes, sir.
And so we preach his ways as well as his nature, his character. So what are we supposed to do if there are so many people who would deceive us? What time are we finished, preacher? Okay. Go and read Psalms 22, verse 8, Psalms 119, 37 yourself later. We need to exercise discernment, okay? Now, I always encourage people to exercise discernment. If you hear a new take on an old doctrine, something you've believed for years and years, you need to be careful.
Yes, sir.
The first time you hear a new preacher, we've got visitors, it's the first time you've ever heard me.
Amen.
I want to challenge you to be careful. Take the Bible and see if what I'm teaching is actually truth or not.
Amen.
Now, I didn't say see if you like it.
Right. That's right.
We never ask somebody, hey, do you like this? But what we do ask, is it biblical?
That's right.
And so you need, according to Hebrews, Hebrews 5, verse 13 and 14, you need to make sure that it's biblically correct. Then the onus is on you to make the to make the changes in your life. They're not on me, I'm teaching. So can you discern both good and evil? That is the question. Are you awake enough to know if God is working out his plan for you, or are you following after Satan's decoy? Okay, we're short on time, so I'm going to have to cut something out. When I do that, it gets dangerous. There's an awful lot of heresy floating around on the internet.
Well, yes, there is.
On television.
Oh,
on the radio. The Christian bookstore is one of the most dangerous places for a Christian to go these days.
Amen.
Go in there and they'll have 150 different Bibles. You know where you'll find the King James? Am I right?
Even if it's the King James.
Yeah, that's if they have one.
As if they have the old King James Bible.
Yeah, exactly. Now listen, if you think you can't be fooled, if you're such a mature Christian that you cannot be fooled, then you need this message, because that's proof that you need it right there. Because we all can be fooled. In fact, our verse was our memory verse was 1 Corinthians 10:12. 1 Corinthians 10:12. And the outline's out the window because I'm trying to race here. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you think you're standing, if you think you can't be beguiled, if you think you can't be tricked, then you are in a dangerous position. If I ever come to that point, I'm in a dangerous position. We all are in a dangerous position if you think you can't be fooled. So we need to learn to exercise discernment and compare scripture to scripture. But let me tell you something. When I was a kid, there was a guy, he liked to do something in the small town I grew up in, like do something for the teenagers and the kids. And so he had an auction barn down below. Up above was just big open attic. I mean, it was huge. And he had a basketball court set up there.
Wow.
And then he partitioned half it off, and we could buy candies and stuff. And And boy, back in the day, I started working on when I was 10, paper routes. And I had 4 paper routes at one time. And plus, I'd mowing lawns and doing stuff in the winter and shoveling snow and all this kind of stuff. Always busy, always selling something. But boy, you young folks, that's anybody under 45, all you youngsters missed out on something. For 25 cents, preacher, on a Saturday morning, I could go up to that auction house there. I could buy me a 10-ounce Mountain Dew or a 12-ounce Pepsi, the long neck ones in the glass bottles, for a dime. For 5 cents, I could get a package of Planters peanuts. Pour down that. Oh, man, you guys really missed out something. Oh, you guys, you were born in the wrong era. And pour that down that log net, just see that fuzz. Oh, any of you ever do that? Any older? Okay, well, at least we got one guy right with God out there. Oh, okay. And then for 10 cents, I could play on a slot machine. Oh, not a slot machine. That's dumb. What do they call those?
Pinball.
Yeah. Pinball that you can tell I don't know anything about gambling and such. But they also had a pool table.
Oh.
And on that pool table, I noticed the older kids and some of the young, the 20-year-olds would come in. And they were playing. All of a sudden, I'd see money down on the side.
Oh, boy.
And somebody would win that and laugh. And then they were gambling on that.
Uh-oh.
They asked me if I wanted to learn to play pool. Being cheap is a good protector.
Amen.
No, thank you. So I never learned to play pool.
Thank you very much.
But I asked a guy one time, you ever been hustled? I knew later on, I learned, you ever been hustled to pool? Because he was bragging about it, he made a little bit of money. And he said, no, I'm too good. Yeah, you fool. A good pool hustler doesn't come into the... A good pool hustler can make every shot or any shot on the table. But what you think if he comes in, so he runs the table 3 times in a row and says, who wants to play for money? How many takers will he have? None. So he goes in and, oh man, you see that? I can't believe I made that shot. It's all a show. It's all he's faking you out. You can be hustled and not even know you've been hustled.
Amen.
If you know you've been hustled, he's not a very good hustler until you find out till later. And Satan will hustle us, and Satan will do that to us if we are not careful. We must learn to exercise discernment.
Yes.
We must compare Scripture with Scripture. So just don't take anybody's word, not my word, not pastor, not anybody's word, on what the Bible says. Second Peter 1:20 says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. 1 John 4:1 is a very good verse. Go ahead and turn there. 1 John 4:1. And as you're turning there, according to the book of Proverbs, we can be fooled. People can fool us. But folks, let's at least make them work at it.
Yeah.
We don't have to be so gullible. You know what some people believe? I can tell you what they believe. Just let me go and talk to the last person they talk to. That's called a simple-minded person in the Bible. The simple believeth every word. These wine bottles were brand new when we started our journey. This bread was hot right out of the right out of the oven when we started our journey. This car has only been driven by a little old lady from Pasadena.
Yeah.
And only on Sundays.
Yeah.
Until she got old and quit driving it. One owner car. Of course, the nephew drove it for 2 years and ran it in the ground, but he was never on the title. Okay. What did I say? 1 John 4:1. And I'm in 1 John chapter 4, and here we go, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, we can go on, and we can look at lots of reasons, lots of proofs if somebody is right or wrong spiritually. But we have to, through discernment, through exercise, through practice, that's why we must learn the Word of God. We might be fooled, but like I said, at least make them work at it. Anybody can be taken in for a short time. But it shouldn't be the manner of our life that we're always being taken in. We need to do our due diligence to avoid as much as possible being fooled. You remember the old saying? Fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
Me.
I'm all for giving people a second chance. Once. The second chance. There's the first time they fooled me, the second chance, and after that, it's hands off. Abraham Lincoln was famous for saying, you can fool all of the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. Now, You can fool all of the people some of the time. That's the group we need to be in. We should not be, and you can fool some of the people all of the time. That's the group you don't want to be in. So we must really, 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 really get into this book, and we must study this book, and we must prayerfully ask God to show us his truth. And no matter how spiritually mature you may be or how spiritually mature you may think you may be, and I'm including myself, I've been saved longer than most of you have been alive. I don't even know when I got saved. When was 1972? Long time ago. That's how long I've been saved. I got saved in 1972.
Amen.
Any of you born after 72? Most of you. We got a couple honest people out there.
Amen.
Okay. That's why I call you kids.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, since 1972 and today, I've done an awful lot of sinning. Mm-hmm. But God has forgiven me, everyone, every time I confess him. Between 1972 and today, I've been tricked and fooled a lot. More than I should have been. But the thing of it is, if I and if you will walk close to God, spend time in God's Word, we can begin to pick out phrases and sayings that people says, and we can know that somebody's pulling our leg. For instance, somebody comes to you and they want to buy something from you. I got a Bible verse from you. Say you're having a yard sale. Say, you're selling anything. The Bible says, the buyer saith, it is not, but when he goeth his way, he boasteth. You know what it means? He comes and he's going to buy this car from you. Oh, that's a piece of junk, man. You got to be kidding. Look, is that got some rings loose? I hear something wrong with the engine. I'm going to have to repair it. Yeah, I'll give you this for it. It is not, it's no good, it's nothing. Then when he goes back home, he says, man, I sure fooled him. I got this car for next to nothing.
Lord, help us.
So when somebody begins to talk that way, then just, you know, God's pretty smart. Have you figured that out yet? And so you really need to read the book of Proverbs a lot. I need to get back in there. I used to read it a lot since my surgery. I haven't read it so much. But we need to get in the book, and we need to study the word, and we must rely on God. What did Joshua and the nation do that was wrong? They had prior instructions. Make no league with the people of the land. These people showed up. Oh, we'd be from a far country. Exactly where's that country at? Oh, it's a long way away. Oh, okay. Well, that explains it. How far? Oh, it's a long way. Just trust me. If somebody comes to you and they want to be your friend, listen to me. Beware. Say, are you against friendship? No, not at all. I'm for friendships. But there's one thing for a person to become your friend. It's something else when they show up on day one, I want to be your friend. Okay, am I getting across to anybody? Anybody figure out what I'm trying
Amen.
To say here? Good, because I'm not sure I have.
Amen.
But if somebody is working very hard to ingratiate themselves into your life, rather than just casually living their life and you becoming friends, beware. They have an alternative motive. I don't know what it is, none of my business, but just beware. Unless you think I'm against all friendships, I am not. And remember, the definition of a friend is somebody you allow into your life with influence over you. In other words, you allow them to influence you. That's what a friend does. If your friend begins to influence you away from Christ, he's more like Ammon. Remember in the Old Testament that Ammon had a friend, and his friend led him to raping his half-sister and to his death, ultimate death. If they lead you away from God, begin to lead you away from God, and that begins very subtle with, I like your church, but hey, why don't you come visit mine? I'll let anybody come visit this church. I'll invite everybody. I'm not going to visit their church. I don't tell them that. People at work, they are acquaintances. I don't allow them to influence me.
Amen.
If you allow them, and sometimes that takes, you know, you got to be able to stand up. You just have to. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be rude. And you need to be a friend more than you need a friend. In other words, you need to be friendly to everybody, and you need to be able to use your influence, whatever influence you have, for God, and to move people closer to God and not tear down their faith and not take them away from God. so that you can get a sale or whatever it is you're after. So if somebody comes to you and they want to ingratiate themselves immediately, I'm not saying you can never be friends, but I would beware. Cautiousness. Cautiousness is a good thing in Christians' lives. I'm not saying you don't trust anybody ever again. Okay? I'm not saying become such a cynic that you don't believe anything anybody says. I just say, remember what Reagan said, trust but verify. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, what they're saying, then red flags and rockets ought to be going off. And you might have to just back away a little bit. Still be nice. Never be rude. Never be crude. Amen. Never be insultive. Still be nice. Help them if you can, even. But don't allow them to influence you.
That's right. Amen.
Because there are many deceivers gone out into the world. The word, the key word there is many.
Many.
Not a few. Many.
Many.
So we need to try the spirits and make sure they're of God. I have no problem following this good man right here. None whatsoever.
Amen. That's right.
Okay? He has proven to me over time from his preaching, he's teaching the Word of God.
Amen.
We have the Word of God. I can read it. He can preach it. And I can see if what he's preaching is right. And I don't know if you'll challenge him, but I'll challenge the people. Whatever, Brother White's preaching today, whatever Brother White preaches, take the Word of God and see if it's right.
Amen.
Okay? Always do that. The Lord is good. Amen.
Yes, he is.
I mean, who even sends somebody like me along to scold you once in a while? But folks, many of you don't know me. Many of you don't know me very well. But my heart's desire is to teach you the Word of God so that you can apply it to your daily life. And I'm sick and tired of Christians getting knocked out of the work because they've been deceived. I'm sick and tired of that. We are in a fight. This is not a playground. Satan is not, you know, a benevolent hall monitor.
That's right. That's good.
Didn't you hate hall monitors in school? Well, Satan is much worse than any hall monitor you ever met. And we need to stop setting ourselves up to be beguiled. I've done it. You've probably done it.
Amen.
So, is there help? Hope? Yeah.
Yes,
if
is.
Sin is involved, ultimately you make the decision, so you have to take the blame.
Uh-huh.
But confess it as sin, and guess what? It's a brand new day, Brother Ponte.
Yes, sir,
it's a brand new day.
Yes,
and God will give you more than two chances. I won't,
Amen.
But God will. Yes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, for this time, for this opportunity, please bless. Lord, I am such a hypocrite. I'm so weak. But Lord, I just pray that you would take your message and cast me aside and use it to help somebody this day. We love you, Jesus, and we pray that you'd help us to learn the Word of God, be able to apply it to our lives on a daily basis, consistently, regularly, and that, Lord, that you would transform us into the image of your dear Son for the glory of Christ Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.